Hi, hello and welcome. My name is the Alpha Female and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Whoa! G'day mateys! Bushwhacker Luke here, 2015 Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Yeah! Whoa!
This is pro wrestling's only modern day Viking Gunner, and you're on Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Nick Magnus Toldis, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hi, this is Leva Blue Pants Bates, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk. Hey, fellas, you guys have a great day, and this is only because I'm talking to Canadians. It is actually spitting snow in Tennessee.
See?
Oh, my God.
That's we're in. Crazy. We've had 70-degree weather here. We really had a warm December, and I get on the phone with damn Canadians, and we're spitting snow, so.
My name is Carl Carafell, and this is Turnbuckle Talk, joined alongside the Chris Parrish for another episode here today. Today's episode, we have got a few things to discuss. We're going to be talking a little bit about CM Punk. We're going to be talking about a returning kind of star to the company. We're going to be talking about a little bit of rumors and possibilities of someone coming back to face a world champion, as well as talking about a premium live event coming to Canada and what that means for this premium live event. And at the very end of the show, since I was able to partake in some Canadian wrestling's elite action this past week, I'm going to talk a little bit about that here as well. Start things off, Chris, how the hell are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Just fresh off our debut show, Paramindful, last night as OLE Podcasts, our local establishment, is officially underway. Very exciting. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, and I am loving that we have so many people watching already. And Mel, you're not late. You're not late at all. We just freaking started. And I mean, we're starting our local establishment. So if you're not part of that Twitch community as of yet, please look up Our Local Establishment on Twitch, twitch.tv/ourlocalestablishment. Join up with that because there is going to be a plethora of amazing shows that are available there. And at some point during this show, we're actually going to play a little video clip to let you know what's coming up this week on Our Local Establishment's Twitch page. Absolutely fantastic to have you back again. I know that you have a show tonight as well, and that you are doing your due diligence to watch NXT and be here with me once again. And I know that it's going to be fantastic for you and Astrid to do that show. What's it called again?
It is called Taking Over, and it will be in a few hours' time, 10:10 p.m. Eastern, 8:10 Mountain, if you live on the western part of Canada or western part of the States like I do.
And as you see down below there, Mel Ball coming in there, spooky-ooky-ish. Yes, I have been lucky enough to be part of this amazing group with Paramindful, where we are talking all things spooky ooky-ish, as Mel Ball is, she coined that. That's her word. We use it when she puts it up there, but that's her word. Absolutely fantastic stuff there. Astrid, always killing it. That's why she is the natural. We're all just along for her ride. That's what it is here right now.
Oh yeah. Speaking of people, our local establishment, it's she is so bright of a star that everything is under her tab. Easily.
100%. Yeah. 1,000%. I will go that far with it. Oh my, says Astrid. Oh yeah. My. She is so humble, though. Astrid, you are one of the most humble people that I've ever met in my entire freaking life. Yeah, so for you not to be gushing over this, come on now. Come on now. I think we said Astrid's name too many times, and yes, she was summoned. Astrid, yes. Her. Astrid is a star, and she is a superstar in the making. Don't go hide now, Astrid. I know that you as well are watching NXT for this amazing show taking over that you and Parrish have coming up after this program at 10:10 tonight, Eastern Standard Time. So thank you so much for popping in at least for a few moments. You know how much I appreciate you. People that are not really appreciated are people within the community and the professional wrestling business that have almost stabbed themselves or shot themselves in the foot, I guess you could say. And this person has essentially done that after a meltdown and his blow up during an All Elite Wrestling media scrum that happened. First, before we get into this full topic, I want your opinion here, Chris, on these media scrums that AEW does. Do you like them? Do you think that they're beneficial, or do you think that it's just a whole bunch of bullshit, waste of time? Ole! Ed, thank you so much for popping in here, Ole, my friend. So media scrums, what do you think?
No, I like them. I think too, like with the ones I'm used to, like for other sports, like what kind of bugs me is some of the stupid questions the media asks the like the players. I'm an Oilers fan, and sometimes our media says some of the dumbest things, and I'd like to hear what the real opinions of the hockey players are. And the same thing kind of goes to the wrestlers. Like, I love it when the wrestlers kind of put the people in the places, just because right. I don't think everybody knows exactly what's going on, and I think it's very easy to speak out of your ass, to be quite honest, when you're a quote-unquote reporter. And I don't think there's a lot of true journalists anymore that kind of have that old-school mentality of knowing a true source, keeping that, you know, secretive in this world kayfabe. There are too many things out in the open, and that could be a very big attribute to, you know, people in the media, but it also could right. be a gigantic wound in their reputation, if you ask me. I like it because you do get to see the, like, the narratives kind of expand, and you kind of get to see more of that feel.
Okay.
But as you do that, I kind of want to see a little bit less of that maybe throughout the show, just to make that kind of stuff a little bit more rare in a media scrum.
Totally understandable for me. I mean, I absolutely love them. I love the way they do them. I love how they do them. Like I do. And it's very reminiscent of what New Japan Professional Wrestling does, New Japan Pro, which I've always enjoyed New Japan's scrums, media scrums that they do after an event. Lately, it's been a lot of Jay White, and I'm okay with that mm-hmm. because I am a Jay White fan. And this is very reminiscent of that when AEW does it. My downfall with the entire thing, though, is that things seem to be very repetitive. They seem to just kind of ask the same questions over and over again, sometimes within the same media scrum, and then sometimes just over the course of several media scrums, no matter who the talent is, it seems like the same questions always come up for this person. And I'd like to see just maybe a little bit more originality coming out of things.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think one of the big issues.
Breathe in with the switchblade.
One of the big Sorry. Things about these media scrums is just like one of the big mistakes pro wrestling can do, and that's overbook the little things. I think that one of the things of why we love like shows like Talking Smack and stuff like that was it was a little bit more out there. Like, it was a little bit more free ball, if you can
yes.
say. Because the product itself was so scripted and so moment by moment to the pace of what, you know, you have to do, that it kind of made it a little predictable, a little boring, a little bland.
Right.
Whereas this felt fresh. And that's one thing you kind of want out of this media scrum. You want to get something out of it. You want to feel like you got a little bit more information about why the show happened the way it did. The only problem is that is you have a lot of different opinions in wrestling fans. So despite what you hear, despite what's being said, you're going to have the people that are clamoring, yes, that's fantastic, along with the people like, no, this is bullshit. It shouldn't happen this way. If I was in charge, even though that I can't even pay rent, I'm going to do it that way. It's like,
right.
Wrestling fans are fickle, so there's no pleasing them all, right? So,
no.
But I think, and, too, like, if you can do them good, it separates the company.
Right. Oh, 100% it does. Mel is absolutely right here as well. She says, Kenta has also been doing some fun post-match promos while plugging his book, which I think is a good opportunity as well during those media scrums for these stars to be able to plug something that they have going on extra afterwards, right? Kind of like we do here every week, every show, as we ask the guest or the people on screen, and what have you got coming up and where can we find you, right? Kind of the same thing, and I like that they do that.
Yeah, it's not because we have great hairlines, it's just we have really good plugs over here.
That's right. Yeah. That is right. Yeah.
But like, I know where you're getting at, because like going back to that Labor Day media scrum where kind of all everything just went sideways, right? Nice. Like CM Punk said a lot of stupid things.
Right.
Well, he also said a lot of good things. I'm sure that Muffin Place also got a lot of business out of it. So,
yeah, their Google reviews were off the charts for that place.
I mean, talk about helping local establishments. I mean, that was, yeah. But I mean, at the same point, like, yeah, there's a lot of things that went wrong there, but also, I mean, CM Punk also dug maybe his career's grave right then and there. And that, you know, allowed other people to also make some mistakes too. It's not like Tony Khan looked like he was an angel coming out of that as well. But at the same time, right? It's not like there's other AEW superstars, you know, responding in the most professional or mature manner or even proper, because that could even be a different one. But I think this kind of showed me, though, why you needed these veterans that you brought in, like the Mark Henrys, the Big Shows, the Christian Cages, the Chris Jerichos.
Sting!
Like that. Like, this is where you need these guys to help the backstage at its best, because they know something about how to deal with drama in a locker room probably better than most people do. And they dealt with a little bit more real drama back in their time.
Right. And CM Punk is one of those names that you would have thought would have been in that classification as well, with like the Big Show, Mark Henry, Sting, all of those Taz, all of those guys, yeah. Right? Unfortunately, it did not end up that way. Jobbed Out Wrestling, thank you so much for coming in here. Yes, praise be to Mindy's Bakery. Yes. Thank you so much for coming in here, watching over on YouTube. I do appreciate that, as we have several people from Twitch accounts and YouTube coming in here. I do have to apologize quickly to anyone who would have watched this on Facebook. Facebook has done some real big effery right now, and for some reason is not allowing me to stream from the service that I use called Melon app over to my Facebook pages and accounts. So I'm definitely going to have to take a look into that and see about getting that fixed. I do appreciate all of you who have come by here so far, and all of you that are going to watch this afterwards or listen to this in podcast form. So AEW, after this media scrum, sent some people home, did some suspensions, and as it looks right now, CM Punk may not be returning to AEW, and it looks as though they are trying to simply buy out his contract. Which then, as soon as that news broke, everyone started talking about this would eventually free him up for a return to the WWE. Now, I've had several people asking me if CM Punk is going to go back to the WWE. I had some other friends that do a show that as well, they had posted the same thing. I left a comment on that as well. My answer was no. They asked me to elaborate, so I will elaborate right now. Under a Vince McMahon regime, sure, I could definitely have seen that. Under a Triple H era right now, I don't think that that would happen, and I think it would be an immediate and a hard no about bringing CM Punk back to the WWE after his AEW contract is either bought out or runs out. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I would actually have found it very much the opposite. I don't think CM Punk would have any want to return to WWE under the Vince McMahon regime. I think, if anything, he'd much rather return to WWE under a Triple H regime, if that's something he can. I mean, right. However, I don't think WWE needs him. I don't know if they want him. I'm at the belief that CM Punk, man, this is where you effed up. You effed up more since Serena Deeb in that promo where she had liquor and messed up in the straight edge society.
Right.
I just don't understand. Like, you had a good thing going right there, and yeah, the one thing you had to do was publicize drama, which is always a no-no. I mean, it's the number one rule you learn in professional wrestling, and that is loose lips sink ships. And CM Punk's mouth got him in trouble. After 7 years off, he got a redemption story, and the first thing he did was take that old revolver he had and shoot himself in the foot. And I don't think WWE should bring him back. I would be a little disappointed if they did. Right. However, you can't argue that it's not good business.
True. True.
Because people are going to be talking about it. People are going to speculate on it. People are going to watch it. Now, with that being said, and unfortunately that's not the first time I'm probably going to say that this tonight.
Apparently it's not.
It's going to be one of those things where everyone's going to have a different opinion, because you either like CM Punk or you hate him. I love CM Punk when he was in his WWE days. I loved him when he was in Ring of Honor. Yes. And then I definitely watched his return in AEW. In fact, he is the reason why I don't have a K letter on my keyboard, because I couldn't get the link working in time, and I got mad, spazzed out, and slammed my fist on the keyboard, and the K broke off.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
true story. But I don't know. Like, see, and this is the thing. I'm surprised that it's coming to a buyout if that's the case. I think this is already indicating how poorly run Tony Khan is going about something if he goes into a buyout, because right, I would have definitely suspend the guy, and in the process I would also be saying, hey, look, I'd rather lose CM Punk than Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, possibly more.
Right.
I get that, and I get that understanding, especially when it's their EVPs that you're talking about. However, if you can't get them on the same page, I'd question all of their professionalism to begin with.
Right. Right. So now we do have a hot take here from Jobbed Out Wrestling. Says, hot take from the sidelines. The only reason I feel Punk would return to the WWE is if he feels so slighted by Tony Khan that he opts to sign purely out of spite. I definitely can see that as well. From everything that we've seen over the last 10, 15 years out of Phil Brooks. I'm saying Phil Brooks, not CM Punk, out of Phil Brooks. It seems as though he has that slight urge to be petty and could do that. I don't know the guy personally, but just from all the shit that we've seen over the years, that's kind of what it feels like. And I definitely could see that being the case with him returning to the WWE just out of spite to just kind of throw it in Tony Khan's face and be like, yeah, so you brought me back in, but you mean shit, you're absolutely nothing. And I'm with the big company. I'm with the company, right? You want to take this one here, Parrish? How's your singing voice right now?
I mean, I'm not going to sing that song.
Astrid comes in and says, I want to sing to him. I see your true colors shining through.
You know what? I'm better singing solo that no one can hear me.
Say that again?
I couldn't hear you. Solo, yeah. I am the audio John Cena, people.
The audio John Cena. Holy shit. That's interesting. That's interesting. Thanks, Astrid. I appreciate that. My singing voice is not the greatest, I know, but I do enjoy singing once in a while.
I will say this, and this might be a hot take. I rather hear Break the Walls Down one more time in WWE than Cult of Personality.
I agree. Yes.
I love how I'm Parrish. Like, I feel like I'm a bad burger at A&W.
A bad burger?
Just kind
burger.
Of ironic because we're talking about AEW. But I just feel like...
Oh, I was thinking more like Papa Smurf. But there may be people that are watching this that aren't old enough to even know what the Smurfs are.
I do have a Smurf joke, but I am not saying it on the stream.
Well, we definitely know that you're not drinking some Smurfin beer there.
No, it's Coors Light because I had to skip beer yesterday because I realized I didn't have any and I was like stuck on the computer. Because like little no, like we made the mistake last night of not knowing that, you know. And this is kind of another plug maybe to our Twitch channel. This is why we need to get Twitch affiliated, because we found out last night that you can't play free recorded broadcasts on non-Twitch affiliated streams.
Right.
So we had to improvise, you know, and that's something, you know, we have to call it on the stream, as you say, right?
Yeah.
So we did a little things like that, but I had to skip beer because I had to make sure that, you know, we got the ball rolling last night. So not my favorite, but it is what it is. It was cheap, man. Like, literally cheap. $21 for 15 cans. I will take that deal any day.
I just spent, with tax, about $17.25 for 6 Modelo today. So, yeah, definitely not cheap.
But then again, like, I'm also drinking an energy drink and a Jones soda. So I'm very hydrated.
I have my non-sponsored Dr. Pepper, as always. Always. Come on, Dr. Pepper. Get on that shit. Need that little sponsorship. Wouldn't it be just a huge surprise if I actually got an email or like a Twitter message from them being like, hey, we see you plug in. We hear your shit. How about we just send you a beer fridge? Like or a pop fridge, I guess, or a soda fridge, wherever you are in the world, soda pop. I don't care. Whatever you say. I want them to send me a Dr. Pepper cooler so that I could have it sit right beside me. And I can grab a Dr. Pepper anytime I need to when I'm sitting here entertaining all of you. That would be the absolute ultimate for me. And it would be a huge surprise for me.
Why don't we do this? It's like, hey, Dr. Pepper, if you're listening, and why wouldn't you be? You have 32 flavors. We have 32 reasons to why you should be sponsoring our local establishment. But here's another thing. We at our local establishment We have endless taps running. And why not have an endless tap of Dr. Pepper served at our local establishment? It just seems to make sense.
It does make sense. And that way everyone can enjoy all 23 flavors of Dr. Pepper that are included in this mouth-watering, amazing drink that is the drink of champions and the drink of choice for yours truly, Carl Carafell. Before we get on to our next topic here, I do want to throw this one up on screen here. Our good friend Mel Ball has gone to Rogue Energy. Yes, we are affiliated with Rogue Energy. She says that the Rogue Black Cherry tastes like the Black Cherry Dr. Pepper. I am definitely going to have to check that out. As I remove that comment from the screen, look right there where it says Rogue Affiliate, right beside it. There is a QR code there. Scan that QR code. It's going to take you to the Rogue Energy website. And in the ticker down below, you will see that there is a promo code there. OLE Pods. Make sure it's pluralized. OLE Pods is going to get you 10% off your entire purchase over at Rogue Energy. Use that QR code, scan it right there, and get yourself some Rogue Energy using less sugar than anything else on the market today. Tastes absolutely amazing and fantastic. According to Mel, who has been providing us with an update every time she tries a different flavor, because she was able to purchase a shaker cup that came with a whole bunch of little samples. Go and check that out. Go and do that. Get yourself an amazing shaker cup and a whole bunch of those different sample packets that you can try for yourself and save 10% on that when you're using OLE Pods at the checkout as well. I definitely need to get myself some Rogue Energy. Bobby Munson coming in here. Bobby Money Munson. Bobby MLW Munson. Bobby Music Munson. Bobby Munson, whatever moniker he goes by, is here with us as well. Says, good evening, guys. Happy to see you both. Shirawaka Special. Shirakawa. Yes, I think I pronounced that properly. Shirakawa Special. That's what you're going to look for. It's right there. Just look at the video. It's right there. I'm not going to try to pronounce that again. Not at all. Something that I can pronounce, though. Nikki Cross. I pronounced that. I would get tongue-tied once in a while trying to remember Nikki A.S.H. or Nikki Ash. It was weird to say. But this week, yesterday, Monday Night Raw, we saw the return of Nikki Cross. Nikki A.S.H. is no longer. We almost have like a returning sanity character when it comes to Nikki Cross here. So Bayley and Bianca Belair were in the non-title match. Near the end of the match, a woman dove onto damage control, taking down the referee at the same time. All the women could be seen kind of mixing it up a little bit. And then the woman was revealed to be Nikki Cross, no longer wearing her mask. Nikki Cross then DDT'd Bianca Belair to give Bayley the win, interestingly. But then following the match, Nikki attacked Bayley as well. So very interesting, I find, to be able to have Nikki come back and make no alliances with anyone at this point, right? Like, so she's taken out Bianca Belair and Bayley, both of them who were competing against each other. Where do we see Nikki going from here? And do we think that this is going to be a big push for the Nikki character?
Well, I mean, it has to be. I mean, how often do we see somebody close out Monday Night Raw and it's not a big deal? It's absolutely great that she took out and cleared the field that was in the ring.
Right.
She takes out Damage Control. She puts out that statement and be like, you guys think you're in control? I'm wiping out your control because I'm the unpredictability that you guys can't control. And then she also puts a statement on with the champion, because if you're gonna claim a yard, you got to take out the big dog. I mean, we've beaten that one over the hammer in professional wrestling how many times, but it's always going to stay true. And as Mel said, Nikki's out for Nikki now, which is great. And I do think if you're going to deal with people that are, you know, a group like Damage Control, you might have some allies. And the one ally she does have is Doudrop. And when I saw this, my first instinct is, are we going to see the return of Piper Niven? Just like we're seeing the return of Nikki Cross. So... We never really got a conclusion on if their tag team fizzled away from each other, but what we did see was clips of Doudrop trying to shed the superhero thing away from Nikki. So now she has embraced this, and she's made a statement. So now do we see maybe the return of Piper Niven come in, and maybe now we're seeing some evolution of the women's tag team division as well? But also, we're now getting somebody fresh in the women's Raw women's title scene, which is, I think it's really nice, because we don't know. Like, when I first saw it, I thought it was Alexa, just given the sparkle of the jacket, right?
Okay, yeah. But then
when I saw it was Nikki, because you can just tell by the hair that it's not Alexa, I was like, okay, this is interesting, because maybe it is more confirmed as we go on that Alexa's going to be doing something with Bray. Time will tell.
Right.
But I just think it's absolutely great that you're giving Nikki a shot, finally. Because I don't think the time she was Raw Women's Champion, you really allowed that to, like, be its own thing. I think it was just a stopgap to put the title back on Bianca or Becky or, you know, something like that. So now it's very interested to see what she was and she wasn't, because I do believe that she got in stale prior, and the Nikki A.S. character at least rebooted her. I just don't think the usage of that really was great, because she got a huge pop when she won Money in the Bank, and she got a huge pop when she became champion.
Right.
But then also what we saw was the typical usage of a superhero, and it's not that exciting. But if she was to take out, like, a bit Becky, a Bianca or something as Nikki A.S.H., we would take that a little bit more seriously. But the problem is she got typecast as that superhero, and because of that, people fizzled away from caring about that. So now we're back into this trend, which I think that sanity version of Nikki was quite possibly the best version of Nikki. But it also opens up the discussion. Will we see Piper Niven? Or you talked about people, or we've talked about people coming back before.
Right.
Could we see the return of Sanity on the main roster?
I don't know. We could. I think we could. I think, like Eric Young, I think would probably be down for it. Jobbed Out here has a good approach here too. He says, if Triple H is open to more couples or intergender wrestling, I'd hope that this is a good excuse to bring back Big Damo. Yes, dude spent enough time controlling his narrative. Anyways, yes. If you know.
Another one I'll give you. Is Nikki Cross not the perfect candidate to join Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, and AJ Styles now?
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect. Because we talked about this last week. Who could there be to join the OC to go up against, like, Judgment Day, right? That would be perfect. have Nikki do it. Jobbed out as again saying couples wise, you've got Rollins and Lynch, Belair and Ford, Gargano and LeRae, Loomis and Hartwell, Logan and Eric. Right? So I mean you've got enough that you could be able to do something with them.
They don't have Miz and Maurice though in there.
Yeah, Miz and Maurice too. That 100% that works. 100%.
I'm assuming
Mel as well saying, I think Sanity was one of the coolest factions when it was around. I hope it comes back. I do too. Yeah. I do too.
And that's just the thing. The one thing where we can't say it's over, and that is the element of surprise in the Triple H regime, right? He understands how important that is. So, yeah, we got Nikki Cross back. But does Nikki Cross... Is that the only thing that comes back with Nikki Cross? Is she going to just be her? Is this a statement just to get a championship match? Or is this a statement for something else? Because, again, I think that there is something to be said about the fact that the first thing she did was take out Damage Control.
Right? And that's a huge freaking statement.
And I think when you take out somebody that says they're controlling the women's division, and what you did was bring out unpredictability, because just when you thought they were taking out Damage Control and she was there to help Bianca, she takes out Bianca. And then we're like, okay, she's going to be a heel. No, then she takes out Bayley. So it's like, right. We don't know what side she's on. So she's clearly in it for herself. And that's great, because sometimes being that unpredictable can actually land you the opportunity that you actually wanted the entire time.
I guess you could almost say she's controlling her own narrative.
Well, I'm also going to say this. She's part of Sanity. Wouldn't it be insanity to do the same thing over and over again and play the same cards?
You're right. I think it would be. So, definitely. But what if there's a new incarnation of Sanity in some sort, way, fashion, where she's actually leading the regime instead?
Yeah, like, I don't throw anything out the window in the Triple H era. What I am curious to see is, okay, why is it this way? And I'm now giving it a little bit more time to let it linger and let it kind of explain itself.
Right.
But also, I'd have zero issue if this is just to make Nikki Cross somebody you care about.
Amen, brother. Amen. Like 100%, I would be okay with that. Yes. If it's just Nikki doing Nikki, I would be 100% okay with that. Jobbed out is envious of Astrid, just as I am as well, who says that she was there for Sanity's debut, and she said that it was awesome.
Now, I'm gonna point this out.
Please do.
We've only been given kind of one direction of what the first war game match can be, right?
Right.
What happens if the second war game match is all women's one, and then we have Bianca, Candace, and then probably put Nikki in there against the Damage Control team, and then maybe we see, you know, a fourth, and it's a all females war game.
Take my money. That's what I say to that. Although they've already taken my money when I signed up for my television service, but that's neither here nor there. Yes, take my money 100% for that.
Well, first, help make us get OLE podcast on Twitch affiliated so we can make more money, and then take that money as well.
I'll take a little bit of it because we'll share it with everyone else.
Just a little bit.
I do want to talk here a few moments about, as we had mentioned, Roman Reigns. Before we do talk about Roman Reigns, though, we do need to take just a quick, short, little break here to let some of our sponsors talk to you for a moment here.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Wrestling, a love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand, The Wrestling Brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
The official Turnbuckle Studio shop is open. Official merchandise from all the favorite shows, plus merchandise you can only find here. Stuff from Turnbuckle Studios. Carl Carafell unboxes. The Boar's Nest with Bubba Duke. Miscellaneous products that you can only find here. Beats and Beatdowns. And Turnbuckle Talk. Find all this merchandise exclusively at carlcarafell.redbubble.com. My name is Carl Carafell, and this is Turnbuckle Talk. Welcome back to this episode 293, where I am joined by my good friend Chris Parrish, as we are talking a whole bunch of different topics having to do with professional wrestling. This next topic is a little bit of a weird one, but we need to make sure that we get these comments in here first. Jobbed Out Wrestling says, I'm thinking Damage Control and LeRae versus Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Nikki Cross. Raw did a very weird but very intentional thing, not showing Damage Control attacking Candice LeRae. I would be down for that. I would definitely also be okay with
they
that.
They also showed that you really don't know who attacked Candice LeRae. It might not have been Damage Control, but it also might have been somebody to help Damage Control.
That's possible too.
So, I mean, that's just like, I don't know, it's a very interesting dynamic of what they're doing, because you have no idea. Like, there's no concrete proof, and we all know, like, you need concrete evidence to prove anything in court. So, like, why not the same thing here? Because it's just interesting to me, and I think they've done a very good job of laying those, like, subtle Easter eggs out there and let us play the what-if game, which, I mean, who doesn't like a good what-if?
I enjoy a good what-if. I definitely do. Our good friend Ed Fries has a show that kind of talks a little bit about what ifs. What's it called there? Variant Wrestling Realities.
Jinx.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Dr. Pepper.
I don't know when that's dropping yet, but I'm excited for it. And I know that the first episode has already been taped and has been recorded for all of us. And from what I heard, it went very swimmingly. And I'm really, really looking forward to it, and really looking forward to getting back to hearing and seeing some Ed Fries on my screen.
Yeah, one might say it's worth a curtain call.
Oh. With that being said, curtain calls. I think it's about time that some people take theirs. and maybe just focus on what they're doing now and continuing on to be that name that they have been on an independent level now. Now, I know this sounds kind of weird, but what we're talking about is Roman Reigns. But maybe not in the way that you're thinking. So Roman Reigns is on a huge freaking roll right now. There really has not been a superstar as much on a roll as Roman Reigns has been in probably the last decade and a half, I would say. Closing in on that gap with the longest running WWE title reign in the company's history. Now the question becomes, how far can he go with this current reign and the title? There's also a lot of people that are interested in getting involved with Roman Reigns, including someone who has been gone from the company for quite a while now, quite a long time. Rolling Reigns. Well, this person that I'm talking about is, well, I actually have one of his action figures sitting right over there. One Mr. Rene Dupree. So in the latest edition of his Café du Rene podcast, the former star believes that he could do great business with Roman Reigns, that he could stand toe to toe and go head to head with not only just Roman Reigns, but with any of the big stars in the company today. Now, Rene has been going through and doing a lot of things on the independent circuit, as well as working for Pro Wrestling Noah over in Japan. He last wrestled in the WWE back in 2007. The man is 38 years of age right now. Now, I do understand and know that, like, you have guys like DDP that came in their 30s and were able to continue on, get world championships, make a great name for themselves, and still be able to continue on doing what they do and being quite the influence on workers and even just people in general. I want to focus on Rene Dupree for just a few moments here with you, Chris. What are your thoughts on Rene Dupree's comments? And do you think, considering I know that you recently had an experience with Rene Dupree, do you think that he could actually back up those claims that he made on his podcast?
Yeah, so like, I've done a show in the last few months with Rene Dupree, like a local show here. Got to kind of meet him, got to kind of pick his brain a little bit. And don't get me wrong, like, I have nothing but the utmost respect for Rene Dupree and what he's done and how he's been able to transform not only his career but his livelihood. Like, that is phenomenal.
Right.
Now, I just don't know if he was ever the big time draw in WWE that warrants people to go back and be in that top pick or top thing with Roman Reigns. And I don't know if he's that name now. Like, at the end of the day, you're like, well, you can work Rene Dupree, or, well, what about, you know, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Finn Balor, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, we got Karrion Kross, Brock Lesnar, you know, like, he just doesn't fit in there. And I haven't even said Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn or, you know, Matt Riddle.
Right.
Gunther. So, Sheamus. Like, you know, like, could he? Yeah, I mean, yeah, he probably could. But would it be something that the majority and the mass would care about? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of people locally that know him and are aware of him and fans of him that would like it because of that reason.
Sure.
However, don't tell me that he is a worldwide name, because I bet you there's people in the chat right now that remember what he did. They just don't remember what he's doing right now. And if you're talking about the biggest prize in the game, and that is the WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship of the world, I'm sorry, I just don't put him in that picture, especially when he never touched that that prize in his tenure.
Mike coming in here, Mike the ref. Thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate you, my friend. You know that. Thank you so much. He's got a comment here that says the French tickler dance killed any chance of Dupree being taken seriously in the WWE. In my area, there is, and this is just a shooting off the kind of the grid here story for a moment, but we have the French River Trading Post in my area. So when we would travel, we would always stop at the French River Trading Post. Well, to annoy the holy shit hell out of my ex-wife, I would always ask, are we stopping at the French Tickler so that I can get myself some fun? Yeah, just a little off story. Yeah, about a French Tickler. If you don't know what a French Tickler is, don't Google it. Maybe just go ask your mom or dad. They'll let you know. Rene Dupree in 2023 would be like Curt Hawkins in 2016. Just can't see him being taken seriously. Mark Jindrak, on the other hand, says Jobbed Out Wrestling. That's a name that I have not heard in a while, is Mark Jindrak.
But he brings a good point, though, because like it's just not a name that's of like giant status right now in professional wrestling. It's one of local status.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to ask me about a guy that reinvented himself in the independents and could be brought back to be put in a main event thing like that, I'll go with the man known that used to be known as Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona. Sure. Okay, I would have time for that guy to come right back in the scene. And no, I haven't even talked about Cody Rhodes coming back yet, too. And that's a gigantic name that we... And I haven't talked about the giant spectacular that could be Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like, it's just one of those things where, you know, could he do good business? I mean, that remains to be seen. Because I never thought seeing Ricky Dragon Steamboat come back and doing some stuff with Chris Jericho would have been good business, but it was. So you never say never. You never count anybody out. But I just don't see that taking off in the way that it should when you're talking about the WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship. I think that in alone is why, no, my answer would be no. It would not work.
So I think we're definitely in agreement that in this time, Rene Dupree coming back to face world champion or in any type of program with world champion status competitors would be a no. But I think we can agree that if we were to see him in, let's say, like a maybe a smaller type of United States or Intercontinental, possibly, that might be something of interest for me anyways. Do I want to see like world championship status? No, because I don't think that he'd really be able to hang and do it. But maybe for, you know, the secondary championships, one of them, I think that that would be okay. Mel's comment here, definitely Fifi needs to come back. If he does show up anywhere within the WWE, we need to have Fifi every week. And yes, every week that damn dog needs to be changing colors and still having the same name of Fifi. Yes. I do remember that as well. That was actually really interesting how that happened. Mike the ref saying, put Rene Dupree against Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber in Montreal to get the same pop as Paul Logan versus Roman Reigns next Saturday in Dubai. Okay, I'm picking up what you're dropping there. And I think that I would be okay with that. If it's this one-off type of thing and type of situation, I think I would be okay with that for that pop. And yeah, we're going to be talking a little bit about a premium live event here in just a few minutes that may kind of coincide with this comment here. So yeah, Rene Dupree, I love you and I thank you for everything that you've done for this business. Like I said, I even have one of your freaking action figures, bro. But do I want to see you back in the WWE taking on guys like Roman Reigns and the top caliber? No, I don't. I don't.
If anything, I'd like him to go back to NXT and kind of help develop some of those guys. Like, I'm sure there'd be a lot of great, like, people you could work with down there.
Joe Gacy.
I'll even say this. Just because of the French connection, I would love to see him help out Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I just wouldn't want him to be in the position of Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn.
Right. Right. We've got this whole French connection thing going on here, so let's move on to this topic and talk about a French connection that will be happening next year, 2023. We are going to be getting, as announced by the WWE, a premium live event on February 18th, 2023 at the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. It will mark the return of the Elimination Chamber to North America, as the 2022 edition actually took place in Saudi Arabia. So there's good news coming out of this, and there's bad news coming out of this at the same time. Now, please keep in mind, this is all just coming in speculation and at this point kind of slight rumor on this, considering the WWE, we know, is looking to get rid of several of their gimmick-themed pay-per-views, and it's very possible that the Elimination Chamber could be one of those that will be gone. So as speculated right now, 2023, February 18th, which is a Saturday, will be the final Elimination Chamber event, and that No Way Out will be coming back to replace it in 2024. So the Elimination Chamber is by far my favorite gimmick matchup. Absolutely, 100%, without a shadow of a doubt. You could give me any gimmick match. You could give me, like, even the Royal Rumble. Like, I don't care what it is. TLCs. I Steel Cage. I don't give a shit. I want the Elimination Chamber. I loved the idea. I loved the concept. And I am very much so looking forward to this. And I'm thinking I may even try to do my damnedest to get tickets and go to this show, just on the off chance that it actually will be the last one, because I haven't experienced an Elimination Chamber yet. Let's talk about Elimination Chamber for a moment here. With it coming back to Canada, are you happy that PLEs are coming back? I hate saying that. I hate saying PLEs. No. Big shows. Are you happy that big shows are finally returning to Canada, first off? And second, what are your thoughts on the possibility that this could be the last Elimination Chamber?
Well, in regards to big shows coming back, I couldn't tell you if they're Paul White or wrong. But with that, I love the fact that Canada is getting more what we like to refer to them as pay-per-views. PPVs. Yes, I know. They're not pay-per-views. People say they're premium live events. It's weird.
Why That's only PLE? A WWE word, though.
Why be PLE when it's way better to be OLE? I'm just going to point that out. However, no, but the fact that Elimination Chamber coming to Montreal in the Bell Center in February, I think it's great. It's great to see Canada being represented. It's great to see something that's not Toronto being represented for some of these bigger shows. However, it'd be nice, I don't know, if we saw a little bit more Western Canada, because outside of Backlash in 2006, we haven't gotten any love. In fact, you took a lot away while we kind of had some toothless aggression go wrong. At the end of the day, it's great coverage. It's amazing to see, and it's awesome to hear the amount of people that are going to go crazy for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. I want to see that on my video screen. Because I don't know about you, but I am still reminded every time with the memory in my brain with that one response Sami Zayn got when going out for that moment of bliss. And the fans just kept going. And I think they said it. They had a good phrase on it. What do you know what that phrase was?
I think it went something like olay, 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 olay. I believe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Mike the ref, I just got to get this comment here super quick. No way out. Elimination chamber. Armageddon. Struggleicious. All great names. Hopefully they are just great matches. I want to see a pay-per-view named Struggleicious now. Like, that just rolls off the tongue, and I absolutely love it. Struggleicious.
I mean, Mike, you're love allowed it. To say who coined that phrase. It is okay. I'm not going to point the fingers.
This is an open forum. I don't care. You post it and might you have say been me. What you want.
It might have been me.
Struggleicious is freaking awesome.
In the words of NSYNC and Justin Timberlake, it's got to be me.
Mae Young?
No.
Well, it's got to be May.
Maybe Vern May, Vance Nevada. Oh. I'd rather go that way. Buy his book, Uncontrolled Chaos, in stores now. man.
Jobbed out says, the West can never top New Blood Rising in Vancouver. Just can't be done. Mike the Ref coming in here saying Backlash 2004 as well as Canadian Stampede 1997, Breakdown 1998, Rock Bottom 1999. Western Canada has always stepped up. They definitely have. And I love that because Western Canada 100% is I guess you could maybe say the birthplace of like Canadian professional wrestling, just because of the history and everything surrounding the Hart family in that area. And then I guess maybe like it kind of branched out from there, or I shouldn't say it became more mainstream because of Western Canada and Canadian wrestlers being a little bit more recognized. I would love to see something go back out that way. Give me a chance and give me a reason to go out that way and go visit some of these fine people that I know that are out there as well. Jobbed Out Wrestling says, I think I saw a Struggleicious episode on Pornhub. I'll say it.
I'm pretty sure it was just interracial, but I could be wrong.
Lance Storm versus Mike Awesome in a Canadian rules match. NBR is the GOAT. Judy Bagwell on a pole match. Yes, please. Once yeah. again. Which Canadian site sold out this year for a TV taping and the other ones that did not? Yeah, that's a very valid point as well, Mike.
Hey, I might not be Adam Cole, but it's all about that boom. All right, just gonna. I almost
wore right, my baby.
Monday Night Raw. I mentioned Street 2 on here, but I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm doing NXT later. It's not Monday.
Oh shit! Right.
No. I mean, imagine if that is your last moment where you saw the number one contender to Roman Reigns' championship be none other than Kevin Owens or Sami Zayn. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
Or think about Sami Zayn breaks away from the bloodline. Like, that's the boiling point to Sami Zayn no longer being part of the bloodline. Like, that just would be amazing on so many levels. Like, Canadian crowds are just insane to begin with. Montreal crowds are insane. To me, they belong in the categories of, you know, your New York cities, your Philadelphias, your Chicago's of the world.
Oh, yeah.
I'll even put them in the United Kingdom. I love to see that they're going a little bit in a different approach, going to Montreal, going to Canada for another one of their quote-unquote PLEs, but in our minds, pay-per-views. But here's the thing. I'd rather them go a little bit one step further on this. Go to a UK for a WrestleMania.
Yes. Yeah, why not?
Like, at this point in time, like, it's... I just watched an interview with Kofi Kingston, and he said, like, never say never. And with this regime, it's more true than it's ever been. It's like, sometimes, like, he's like, we don't even... It's like talent. We don't even know some of these things that are going on. Like, it's crazy to think, you know, what this company can still do despite the fact that it's broken how many barriers over the last 15, 20 years?
Right?
Say what you want about Saudi Arabia shows. Women are wrestling in Saudi Arabia in 2022. That's insane.
Yep.
And it's not just it a definitely gimmick, is. It's something people want out there.
It definitely is. It's amazing what is being done and what can be done as well. Mike the Ref coming in here as well saying they don't come up to Canada as much because of the cost. Yes. Yes, I totally get that. At least that was Vince's excuse. Interested to see what they can do with the extra $14 million they don't have to pay out to certain people and use for the shows. So $14 million, I think a good portion of that already has probably been used in rehiring some people. But still, even if we take half of that, let's say $7 million, you could still do some pretty great stuff with $7 million for shows in Canada. Where, like, just like you said, Mike, we do not get those premium live events, pay-per-views. We do not get these big shows that come to Canada very often. When they do, we're going to buy freaking tickets. We're going to be saving our money. We're going to be buying merchandise. We're going to be doing everything we possibly can to spend as much money as we possibly can to get all of this stuff, because we know it's probably going to be another 5 to 10 years before it's here again. So it would be a very good use of that. And I'm just going to say seven. We'll say $7 million to invest a little bit into Canadian events. That's just me. That's just me. See? The merch line in Edmonton was 2 hours long, 3 hours before the doors opened. Like, yeah. Because we're going to go because we don't get that. We don't get that here very often. Job Out Wrestling says, I tell you what they could do with $14 million up in Canada, but I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Mum's the word. Mum's the word.
No, bird's the word.
Oh, well, no, we're not going to go there.
No.
So, Canadian professional wrestling.
What do you think, though, about Bell Center getting not only the Elimination Chamber, getting that SmackDown, so they're going to be there for that weekend?
I'm perfectly fine with this. Like, I love it. I love that the conglomerates, that the largest professional wrestling company in the entire freaking world right now is coming to Canada. I don't care where it is. I am just happy that they are recognizing that there are fans and that there is a huge damn fan base in Canada and that they're trying their best to come and capitalize on this fan base and take our money. Because at the end of the day, for those of us that are fans of professional wrestling, that take our money. We don't give a shit. If you're going to give us a good product, if you're going to give us something that we don't get to experience very often, take our freaking money. And that's what they're going to be doing in Montreal. Having it in Montreal, I think, is perfectly fine. That arena is absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. So why not have it somewhere like that? They can do so much there. It's big enough to house the Elimination Chamber. That's one of the things that's needed as well. You have to have a big enough place to house that as well. So
I'm actually going to disagree slightly with that comment, simply because I know for a fact that Americans are more egotistical about what they do and don't get, whereas Canadians are a little bit more supportive just because it's Canada. We're just more right. jealous that it's not at our thing, but Americans get a little bit more ego about
it. Well, I'm not going to speak for my American friends.
As like a fan base, like maybe like the people, not, I won't say like specific people, but like it is more of a, you know, like, you know, if one city doesn't bid them, like get that WrestleMania bid, it's probably because another city got too like, nope, we're going to throw this amount of money in, you know, it's that, you know,
yeah,
proverbial dick swinging mentality that, you know, would get it done. And it's just, yeah. Like to us, it's like, it's cool because like we can just fly to like another city and it's whatever.
Right.
And like, we're fine.
Mel is saying here. Right. Exactly. Mel is saying, as seat fillers at the Raw show, we were front of the line. LOL. Mike, the ref saying Western Canadians excited for a show in Montreal is like LA fans enjoying that Philly gets WrestleMania. No, I kind of get what you're saying there. I definitely do. But again, to Parrish's point, I think that we're a little bit more open to being happy for, you know, our friends that are on the other side of the country that are able to experience it. And I mean, flights out this way are not super long. Right. So Astrid says, I saved up for Mania for New Orleans, Jersey, Miami, Orlando, because I wanted to travel and attend the show either way.
Yeah, and that's going to be a great thing. Not to mention, has anybody partied in Montreal, by the way?
I've never done that.
It's disgusting of a scene. It's insane. It might be Canada's Vegas when it comes to that part. Is it the spectacle that Vegas is? No. But does the aura and the atmosphere and all of that, like, does it bring, like, one of the best times? Yeah. And it's phenomenal. I think the fact that they are going to Montreal is a great decision, because not only is the fan base amazing, but the experience is amazing. And, you know, it's just, you know, when Raw came to Edmonton, that was the first time they were in the new arena, and I heard that there was a lot different people, or a lot different of a mentality about how people viewed Edmonton coming out of that Monday Night Raw to how they viewed Edmonton years prior, and I think that says a lot. I think the money thing does play a partial point in here. But when you have business done right and you can get that money elsewhere, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal.
Jobbed out wrestling, apparently. Drinking in Montreal.
Yep.
Rue St. Catherine. Hell of a time. Mike, I'm not sure exactly which part of this that you were talking about, but I'm sorry if we have, or if I've upset you, saying that this is why I hate when people, I shouldn't have emphasized that. This is why I hate when people say this is great for Canadians. I don't know. I think it is. I think it's maybe not great for Canadians as a whole, but great for Canadian professional wrestling fans, I think. Because, like, I don't know. I'm just, Western versus Eastern Canadians.
No, I mean, Yeah.
Okay.
No, Canadians are very fickle about that aspect. Like, that's not a thing. But, I mean, it's going to be fun to travel there, to go there if you want to. I don't know. But, like, I'm just looking at it from WWE's point of view coming in. They clearly don't care about the Western Canadian versus Eastern Canadian mentality. Like, they wouldn't care about any Philadelphia, like, East Coast versus West Coast United States thing. They just care about, you know, is this good business? And it is. And at some point, like, you got to give Canada a good show here. Like, you got to give them a PLE, like an Extreme Rules or Elimination Chamber, you know, one of those bigger events.
Right.
And this is exactly why I'm saying go to UK and give them a WrestleMania, because it's, you know, this is the time where you get to, you know, make waves.
I agree with that. I agree with that. To make everybody happy, WWE, Triple H, Paul, I know you're listening. Probably not. I know you're listening, Paul. Next time, Winnipeg. Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. It's like the center. It's like almost dead center of Canada. And then no matter where you're coming from, it's going to be like the same distance to make everybody happy. Possibly. Possibly. Not that I'm saying Mike isn't happy. I'm not saying that at all.
Because it was too cold. I don't know if they're going to be rushing to Winnipeg anytime soon.
Well, I mean, you don't, it's not necessarily having to do a WrestleMania or something, you know, or do it in January. Like, you could do it in August. Do a SummerSlam there. That would be cool.
It's only like minus 12 down there in August.
Right? Like, in August, it's only like minus 7. So, I mean, it's good. It's good. Jobbed Out Wrestling, this Take My Money concept reminds me, when are we getting an Adapt or Perish t-shirt?
I mean, that's a very evolutionary idea. Gonna say. I mean, who knows? Maybe you just have to walk a line in the sand to get it. I'll just say that.
Maybe. Maybe. So I'm just going to touch on super quickly here. We've been talking a lot, finishing off here, about Canadian professional wrestling. I was able to go on the 22nd to the Canadian Wrestling's Elite show that they held here at the Sioux Blaster Arena. I can't even say arena. That's Sioux Blasters. It's essentially like a bar with like, it's like a Dave and Buster's. So it's got like games and then like a bar area, right? But I digress. I just want to go through and give you the quick little updates and, you know, give you the results from the show that happened here. So we had the CWE Canadian Unified Junior Heavyweight Champion, Chiseled Chad Daniels, defeating Drag Neil. We had the Cannon Corporation being the headline, Sean Martins, and the Boston Bruiser, Kevin O'Doyle. O'Doyle rules, defeating Ojin Thundercloud and Sergeant Commando, which Sergeant Commando actually got taken out before the matchup even started, so it ended up being a handicap match. We had the Cowboy, James Storm, defeating Diego Da Vinci. We had the Sin City Saint, Vinny Da Vinci, defeating Hotshot Danny Duggan by disqualification, after his cousin Diego came out and interrupted and started beating on Vinny Da Vinci, essentially setting up for a matchup the next time that CWE makes its way through here. And then we had the CWE champion, the Zombie Killer, Mentolo, defeating Mr. Atlantis. All in all, it was a very good show. I was very happy with everything that was there. Very excited I was, yes, to meet James Storm, because he is somebody that I have not had the opportunity to meet as of yet. He was absolutely amazing. Took a couple of minutes, talked with me for a few minutes. And yeah, it was just a really cool, exciting show. And I'm very thankful that CWE does make its way through here to allow some professional wrestling to happen locally. we had three local guys on that show. Three local guys actually worked like 4 days out of this stretch. So very happy and thankful for that. I'm very happy and thankful to each and every one of you for coming in here and joining me and Chris Parrish today. Before we get out of here, Chris, remind people what you got coming up tonight at 10:10 and what you have got for the rest of the week.
Yeah, if you want to continue watching the great stuff at OLE Podcast here on Twitch, you can tune in at 10:10 p.m. Eastern, 8:10 Mountain Time, and watch Taking Over with myself and the natural Astrid Pizarro as we not only review tonight's episode of NXT, where I am now watching the live reaction and live reveal of that mysterious red hoodie, and I will tell you later tonight. And I will also remind you that we are going to also talk and kind of review a little bit about Halloween Havoc that happened this past weekend. And yeah, and then also this Sunday, you can watch the Bunch Brustas, or Bunch Brustas video. You know what, when you were saying Bobby Munson had so many handles, it got me confused. So you know, that's just what it is. I mean, we call him so many names, I just call him my Brunch Busta. Bobby Munson and I, as we host the seventh edition of Busting Out, the very first edition of Busting Out on OLE. And yeah, that will happen around about one o'clock Eastern on Sunday.
Amazing. So before we finish and getting out of here, I'm just going to play the clip and show you guys what all is coming out for the rest of this week for our local establishment. Thank you so much to each and every one of you for joining us here today. For me, I'm going to throw this up here and make sure that you click and scan that QR code that will take you to everywhere that you can find yours truly, Carl Carafell. Parrish, thank you so much for coming in here. I know you're a very busy guy and I really do appreciate it. And with that being said, everybody, the world's a scary place. Take care of each other.